It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover.
All right, well, the Supreme Court has kicked off its new term. They're out and rolling now. And a couple of big cases could impact the LGBTQ question in America when it comes to discrimination and so forth. When the Civil Rights Bill was written in 1964, it covered sex, which at the time meant male and female. It did not include 150 pronouns. And so that's now in front of the Supreme Court. With me is Aaron Mercino, Senior Legal Counsel at the Great Lakes Justice Center. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
So give me a little background here, Aaron, because one of the cases being heard by the Supreme Court comes from Michigan, and it could have far-reaching implications on Title VII primarily, I guess. Give us the background, if you would.
That's right. So the case is Harris Funeral Homes, and the owners of Harris Funeral Homes were approached by one of their employees, who is a biological man, who said that he would now be dressing as a woman and wanted to be recognized as a woman using, you know, the woman's bathroom. And in their business, it's very difficult because they see people who have just lost family members. It's a very sensitive time, and they thought that that would be distracting. They have a very organized dress code for men and women that creates differences for men and women. They also have different bathrooms for men and women, and so they thought that they could not accommodate that request for this man to start wearing dresses to work, and especially during the time of the mourning and grief process for their clients.
Right, because they felt that it would negatively impact their clientele. I mean, obviously, they're going through a lot, adding more, I don't know, potential stress or potential confusion or potential irritation. All of these things could happen potentially, right, when you have people there, and they don't want to deal with that. So they have, if they have a dress code and a code of conduct, these things are up for grabs at the Supreme Court. Tell us about the arguments before the court, and give me an idea what you think might happen.
So the arguments before the court were pretty interesting. It seems like there were certainly four justices that were in favor of adding gender identity and sexual orientation as classifications under Title VII, meaning that if an employee is a man and comes to his employer and says, I want to start wearing dresses, that would have to be accommodated. And so it looks like there's at least four justices in favor of changing Title VII to include those definitions. The big argument that attorneys were making on behalf of this individual who's now going by the name Amy Stevens, the man who's now dressing as a woman, they were saying, well, if a woman comes into work and wants to wear a dress, she wouldn't face any sort of punishment. But if a man comes into work and wants to wear a dress, then he would face some sort of ramification. So therefore, it's discrimination based on sex. And the contrary argument that Mr. John Birch argued to the court, and also the Solicitor General of the United States argued to the court, was that, no, this is a different classification. This is not just sex discrimination. This is something new. This is a gender identity classification.
So let me ask you this.
Different.
I want to jump in here because you said four justices are in favor, it appeared to you. You never know for sure till the decision is handed down. But it appeared to you that four justices were in favor of adding gender identity. It's not the court's position or place or function to add anything. It's the job of the legislature to add and create laws. It's the job of the court to interpret and enforce those laws, not create new law.
That's exactly right. And that was the argument that attorneys were making, that this would really be legislating from the bench, and this would be adding different categories of protection under the guise of saying that this is sex discrimination. But it's really more than sex discrimination. And when you look at different states that have added these categories, they've also added protection for religious liberty and have made sure that there's protections in their law in place. So something that the Solicitor General said, this would be a victory for one side only, and it would open the doors for persecution for, say, Christians who want to have policies for their businesses that are in line with their faith.
Right. So that, I mean, so if they ruled in favor of the transgender person in this case, it would just set up a Supreme Court fight in the future over religious rights. How could you avoid it?
That's right.
It'd be a wild ride. But the wild card in all of this, I believe, is John Roberts. What are your thoughts?
I think so. And also Justice Gorsuch seemed to be struggling with the question whether this would fit under the definition of sex under Title VII or if this was something different. But John Roberts was pretty quiet during the argument, and it seemed that he had great sympathy for this individual, Amy Stevens.
Well, why can't the legislature just do its job? If they want to get these things passed, then get them passed, and you wouldn't have to have this struggle at the court. Because, again, it's not the court's job, in my estimation, to create a new classification. It's not their place. It's not how it's supposed to function. You have a legislature that is charged with doing that. That's their job. Why won't they do it?
You know, political reasons, but I 100% agree with you. And I think our country would be less polarized if the legislature would just do its job instead of going begging to the Supreme Court to change the law to fit a certain ideology that not everyone in our country agrees with, not, you know, 50% of our country agrees with. So I think it's increasing this polarization in our country by having a legislature that's not looking at these issues and resolving these issues through the democratic process.
Aaron Mercino here, senior legal counsel at the Great Lakes Justice Center. All right, so when do we find out, Aaron? Will it make us wait until June, I would guess, right?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, one of the last weeks in June. All of these hot-button cases seem to all be resolved at the very end of the Supreme Court term.
Yeah, and it'll come out right before, of course, right in the heart of the 2020 election cycle when the conventions will be underway about that time frame as you head toward November. So why not? I'll give you the last word on it.
I think that this is an extremely important case, not just because Christians are going to be facing steep penalties for acting in accordance with their faith if the court decides to rule in favor of this transgendered individual, but also because there's going to be huge ramifications throughout. In our school system, are adult males who are now dressing as female going to be going into the restroom and locker rooms with young girls? I mean, that's questions that the Supreme Court was asking during oral argument, and those are real legitimate questions. So this is definitely a case to look and watch out for, and it would have huge ramifications if the court decides to add this category to Title VII.
Aaron, greatly appreciate you being here. We'll keep our eye on it and see where this case ends up. Of course, I think you're right. It'll be one of the last cases released in June of next year. Aaron Mercino from the Great Lakes Justice Center, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is the Steve Gruber Show back after this.
Some of the coolest homes are also some of the warmest. Homeowners who have an eye for detail and quality often have their eye on Oil Heat for its exceptional warmth and its friendly service. Oil Heat is clean, efficient, and safe. And BioHeat Oil, which blends biodegradable materials, provides a renewable fuel source that's good for your home and environment. Now that's cool. See more at useoilheatmichigan.com. Brought to you by the locally owned and operated members of the Michigan Petroleum Association and the National Oil Heat Research Alliance.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Rich Dudley, President and CEO of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. For 60 years, the Chamber has been your voice in Lansing, fighting for pro-business, pro-taxpayer, pro-jobs legislation. It's been our commitment to work with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle in Lansing to create an environment that allows businesses to grow and to create a strong and thriving economy. We are member-driven and policy-focused. The Michigan Chamber represents Over 6,000 companies of all sizes and types in all 83 of Michigan's counties. Michigan Chamber members employ over 1 million Michigan residents. That's why we're focused on the mission of promoting conditions favorable to job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.